Hello and welcome to Gamercast episode 185. I'm your host and my name's Paul, and joining me this week as always is Adam.
Hiya.
And also Catherine.
Hello.
Yeah, so this is actually the show which would normally be recorded on the 31st of January.
Yep, on Sunday.
But because some people
being me,
are trotting away to do things, we're actually recording this on the 28th. So if there's like a major news announcement tomorrow and we don't cover it in this episode, that's why.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
So we apologise in advance.
Yeah.
Now for the news.
Shall I do the first one?
Yes, since I don't know what any of these things mean.
Okay, so Adam mentioned last week about Capcom and Microsoft announcing something together, jointly.
They announced something?
They were going to announce something that was an exclusive Microsoft product. And that title was actually Monster Hunter Frontier. So
right.
Another game...
So can I just... This isn't interrupting.
Okay.
What is Monster Hunter?
I was about to tell you that.
Okay.
Monster Hunter is a series that's been around since maybe 2000?
A while.
Maybe
what was its first title release?
One was Monster Hunter on the PS2. It then got ported to PSP.
Yeah.
And then they just kept releasing them on PSP from then on. We never got any more on the PS2.
Yeah, because I've been playing it on the PSP.
Mm.
It was one of the demos I downloaded on my Go, because lots of people were ramping and raving about it.
Go where? Home? E.T. Go home.
Careful. Monster Hunter Frontier is a bit different to the normal Monster Hunter games. Although it's still got online play, which they've always had, I think it's more kind of trying to go towards an MMO.
Yeah, that's one of the things they mentioned.
I haven't read anything on it, because it was like the video I watched was Japanese as well, so I wasn't exactly 100% sure on what it was talking about. But yeah, the only other thing I have read is that it may not come out over here, so it may be an Eastern only title. Do you have anything to say about it, Adam?
I was just trying to find out whether or not it was... Yeah, because they're calling it Monster Hunter Frontier Online.
Yeah.
Do
you want to add online to it, Paul?
I don't know if it is online. It was just what it was saying on this thing.
Well, yeah.
They were saying that it's an Xbox 360 port of a PC MMO Monster Hunter Frontier Online. So I don't know if there's one on PC already of this game or what.
I think they were... Are you reading that post from Kotaku?
No, I just looked at it. First thing that came up was IGN one, which there was nothing in the post. It's just images of it.
I don't know, because one thing I noticed was from the video that I saw, the animations, the characters looked very MMO-like. So they were all dancing...
Slash dance.
Or things like that. And, you know, that just made me think, oh, it looks like an MMO. And
it's of course, got Monster Hunter's vibe.
Yeah, and Monster Hunter's always online anyway, so, you know.
Yeah.
They pretty much are.
Which I think is a good thing, because if this is actually for the Japanese people, they don't have a lot of their style of video games that they like as MMOs out there.
They have a fair few.
Yeah,
we just never see them over here, so
yeah.
We don't know about them.
I know of a couple, but no.
Yeah,
there aren't that many MMOs on consoles, though, are there?
Well, no, that's true. Consoles, there's a lack of.
Yeah,
that's because
they generally
get
cancelled.
Yeah,
console.
Yes.
K O N S O L.
Very good, Paul. Okay, next up.
Nintendo Lifetime Figures. So Nintendo have apparently announced some figures, and Catherine will explain what these figures are.
It sounded like you were going to do it.
Are they all these things
here?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, basically, they've sold a couple of Wiis and a few DSs.
Say the numbers.
I can't read it. It's too small. You'll have to read it with your new Uber Vision.
So far to date, this is all regions as well. Nintendo have sold 67 million Wiis. And 125 million DSs. That includes original DS, DS Lite, DSi, DS XL, all of those. They've also shipped 510 million Wii games and 688 million DS games, which is a hell of a lot.
That's actually quite a few games.
And then there's they've broken them down into America, Japan, and Europe. So I'm going to mention Europe just as, I don't know, are our main listeners Europe, I would presume?
Yeah.
The figures are, wow, a lot higher than Japan. That's crazy. But that's Europe and whatever's left.
Well, yeah, Europe's a billion people. Japan is like six people.
That's true. Not exactly six people, but yeah.
Order of magnitude.
That's including anywhere bar America and Japan, so it could be anywhere else. But so they've got 25.7 million Wiis, which is almost as many as America have sold. And DSs, they've sold 50 million. That's a hell of a lot. Whereas in
that's
Japan,
that's a lot of software. Surely that figure can't be right.
I think this is shipped as well. I'm not sure if it's sold.
Well, the thing is, the Wii has always had a poor attach rate for games because, you know, people buy it. Well, and yeah, they just have one or two games for it.
The thing is, though, people as well, they end up just buying games.
That's almost like seven games per Wii.
So that's
the game.
And that DS
high.
Figure as well, 688 million with 125 million consoles.
Well, yeah, the DS figure is a bit more realistic.
How does that work out, though?
Mm.
I don't know. Sorry, those figures
are
just crazy.
The DS is a bit more realistic because it's like, what, five or six games per DS?
Mm. But if that's Europe, it depends how the rest
this
of
Europe...
This
is internationally,
Europe...
these figures.
Well, yeah, there's no set figures for games shipped in regions. There's only a complete right. total.
So, yeah, Nintendo are doing quite well for themselves.
They are, especially those DS games. But, like, DS games sell, like, super well, crazy. Like...
Yeah, plus they cost almost nothing to manufacture.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think you have to consider how many people actually own a DS, and... Especially
now.
Yeah,
125 million people.
Well, because the thing is, as well, even though there's been 125 million sold, that's from Nintendo. That's not including the pre-owned market. So there's 125 million Wiis out there that have been bought from Nintendo.
DSs.
What did I say?
Wiis.
Sorry, wrong thing. I don't know why I said that. But, like, there could be more than that. There could be less than that.
Well, if they've shipped
Nintendo.
Then there'll be that many.
But there's that many, but that doesn't mean they're all being played on.
No, obviously most of them won't be being played on at this moment in time.
Mine's on.
Turn it off, you're supposed to be doing the show.
Actually, yeah, it's going
to
run its battery out. I'm not using it right now. Okay, so that's Nintendo. I think that's quite good numbers for them.
More importantly, what's this about Command & Conquer 4? Game that EA seems to be rushing to market.
They've just announced, well, I don't know if
they've announced
they
beta
have announced
for it.
Oh yeah, on the CNC4 community Twitter account. The CNC4 beta is going public very, very soon, so people can give it a go. Of course, the multiplayer.
Ah.
But they've been doing that for a while.
So they're trying to chuck it out before StarCraft 2 gets out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
The game is due out in March, so they haven't got long.
Oh, so they're trying to compete with Supreme Commander. Good luck.
So they want to get as many people interested in the next, I'd say, probably month.
Command & Conquer 3, they tried to compete with Supreme Commander 1. They just got hammered in the reviews. Everyone compared it to Supreme Commander with it's like zoom.
I'm curious what they're going to do because they've been trying to vamp back up the Command & Conquer series with Command & Conquer 3 where the fact that it was a sequel to with the whole Tiberian thing. And then they did Red Alert.
Red Alert's always been a spin-off.
Yeah, and to do a sequel Red Alert spin-off. I'll be kind of curious where they will go with this, whether we're going to get it's obviously not going to be Red Alert, but whether or not Command & Conquer 4 will be another Tiberian or they're going to put
it'll
that aside.
It'll be set in the Tiberian universe.
Do you think?
Otherwise it'll be called Red Alert.
Yeah, that's true.
Because what are the other ones about? Because it was...
They've only done, the normal Command & Conquer and Red Alert, and then they did one spin-off, which was Generals.
Yeah.
But you can really just think of that as just using the CNC name.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it was...
Just like Renegade was.
Well, Renegade was set in the Command & Conquer universe.
Was it?
Yeah,
you were a GDI operative.
I never played it. Anyway.
Had a lot of potential.
So Command & Conquer 4 beta coming very soon for anyone that wants to try out the multiplayer.
I shall try it out, no doubt.
Yep, that's cool.
And I will kill everyone. Starting with you.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, so next up, EA recently announced that they're doing FIFA World Cup 2010.
Wow, I never would have imagined they'd do a FIFA game.
And also, a World Cup game, considering, there hasn't been any before.
It's totally new, isn't it? I'm shocked. We need to get more details about this game. I mean, how are they planning on making it? Like, are they going to make it so you can do play football in it, or are you just going to be a crowd member and you can just make a riot?
Yes, Paul. Apparently they announced it on their Facebook page, which I think is a bit crazy.
See, call me old-fashioned, but I think a press release is how you
announce
things.
They did a press release as well, but it probably came after the Facebook thing. But then that community manager for CNC4 announced it on his Twitter.
Do a
so
press
like,
release, stop a trying few, to... A few... Hang on, I'm not interrupting.
Okay.
I just need to get this out. Stop trying to be trendy by using Facebook and Twitter. Although GamerCast utilizes such things, we don't use it as a press release. We just use it to say we've got a new episode out. When our main source of that is obviously our RSS feed, because we are technical and we know what RSS is. Okay, carry on.
That's okay. Okay, so a few things that they're apparently adding to the World Cup edition.
Can you play as international teams, or do they just have all the minor, like, little club teams all playing together? I wonder. That would be a good question for an interview, maybe.
Who am I going to interview? They don't make it.
We didn't need to ask that. We know it's World Cup, isn't it?
Anyway, apparently it's got a gorgeous new pitch, because apparently their pitch was not good enough, so they made it look superb.
Well, yeah, this is the World Cup. This isn't crappy Man United playing Grimsby or something.
The lighting of the players and environment are better. So clever changes to the lights apparently make everything look more realistic.
Good, because lighting is a bad point in football games.
Apparently they have added camera flashes.
Oh,
so
great.
You'll see all the fans in the crowd using their cameras.
During the day, no doubt. Smack. And because, of course, a flash will work over that sort of distance, they should have a sign saying, please don't use your flash during a real match. It won't do you any good. Thank you.
See, these are quite cute little kind of things they've added. Seat cards. So apparently fans hold up cards to form national flags and emblems in a show of patriotism.
Ooh, that requires a lot of planning. I'm impressed.
Fans... as in up close, so you get to see close-up shots on supporters cheering on their team or despairing in anguish. Confetti rains down from the sky in the team colours and stays on the pitch all game.
We need a question, a proper question now, a serious one. Does the confetti make the players trip over?
Well, have you seen what
that one
says as well?
Breathe in the confetti?
Streamers create a carnival atmosphere as they glide to the ground. They trip on those. Streamers.
This is starting to sound like a Wii game.
It sounds really weird. Apparently populated benches are in it, so characters sit on the benches rather than them being empty. That's pretty much it, really.
So yeah, they're adding a few new features to it.
They're adding confetti, fans, flags... streamers, cameras.
Yeah, they didn't need flags in like the normal releases, because obviously it's just club teams, not your national teams and your international.
But the thing is, they obviously had a thinking session at some point. Well, they would anyway. But to try and come up with what new things they could put in.
I thought people just randomly make.
Oh yeah, obviously people just put whatever they want into the game and don't tell anyone about it. But yeah,
that's what we used to do in the olden days.
So they obviously tried to think of all things they could try and combine to make it a little bit more
like it.
It's
nice to see EA actually adding features as opposed to just putting in gimmicks, because, I mean, especially the graphic side of it, you know, if you think what a football game could look like, all of the existing football games are not, you know, up there, are they?
Where is that in thingy?
What are you looking at? We're supposed to be doing the news.
I know, I was just reading that.
You're
apparently
getting distracted,
it says...
aren't you?
It will feature all 199 countries that competed in the World Cup qualification stage. Oh, in the qualification stage. And allows players to take any of them through all stages of competition. Yay, alternate reality in which Ireland beat France.
yay.
That's a bit random.
Let's move on, shall we?
So yeah, so that's FIFA. So they've got the World Cup one coming out now, which will probably be out whenever. I'm not sure when. I don't know football stuff. And now, Adam can talk about something.
Yep, because as well as Monster Hunter being announced on the 26th at this thing with Xbox and Capcom, they also gave out their release dates for quite a few of their games. I'll quickly just sprint through them and then talk about what I was going to talk about. Final Fight Double Impact, which will be on Xbox Live and PSN Network, will be out in spring. Monster Hunter Tri will be out in April on the Wii. Lost Planet 2 will be out on May 18th in both territories. And Street Fighter 4, which is what I was waiting for them to announce when the date will be the 28th of April in Japan, and will be the 27th of April in North America and the 30th of April in Europe. Supposedly it's supposed to be an international release, but those are the dates for each one of the territories. So end of April, Super Street Fighter 4. Can't wait.
That's cool. It's nice them giving all the releases as well, like in a big lump. I like
yeah.
it when they do that.
It is nice, but they did say that a lot of people are still going to probably might want to get a Japanese copy, because I'm looking at it now online and they're doing a really nice collector's edition for Super Street Fighter 4 that comes with a disc that's got all of the videos and artwork and all the other gubbins for it, which will be available for all the Japanese people. They said they're still not aware of whether or not Capcom will do the same thing in Europe or North America. It might be a Japanese-only thing. Otherwise, we might be getting something over here. There was mentioned that it might be cheaper than the normal game for like normal Street Fighter 4, but it might be only in Japan that they pay less for it in comparison to the price of normal Street Fighter.
Yeah, I mean, because they also they announced some photos of Lost Planet 2 Collector's Edition as well.
Yeah.
Although there have been no details, because I know a lady who works for Capcom Europe, and she said how there's no confirmed details at all that we'll get that over here, and we might not. It'd be nice if we did, because it's got like it's either got one figure with it, or you can get two figures with it, or there's a choice of two figures or something like that. But I thought that was quite cool.
I still have my Lost Planet figure.
Yeah, me too.
It's somewhere.
I don't know where mine is. But yeah, okay, so that's cool. Capcom announcing all their dates. Next up is just a really small kind of little thing that I saw on Kotaku when I was browsing it the other day, because I don't think it was someone at Kotaku, I think it was someone at Nintendo, was reading through the strategy guide for Link's Awakening on the Game Boy, and there was... Because in Japanese strategy guides, they generally have interviews with the producers or head people at the back of them.
Right.
So that's the thing that's like, we don't get over here, because we don't have stuff like that.
But it's a normal thing for their strategy
guides. Yeah, it's because like, with all the Japanese strategy guides I've got at home, they've all got an interview with someone head up. Of course, they're always totally in Japanese. I'm sorry. They're always totally Japanese. But it was quite weird, because apparently a huge influence for Link's Awakening was Twin Peaks. Do you know what Twin Peaks is at all, Adam?
I've never watched it, but I'm aware of its existence.
You're aware of it. Okay, because Twin Peaks was a series by David Lynch. It's been... what's the word? It's been mimicked in lots of things. So, like, The Simpsons have used it many times, and, like, loads of other things. It's like a weird kind of... surreal... There you go, show. And apparently it was a huge influence for the characters in Link's Awakening, because they made the characters suspicious types of characters in a small community, which I thought was quite weird, and the fact that this guy actually stated the fact that it influenced him largely, because it's one of the games I wouldn't imagine that would be influenced by Twin Peaks. It's like, I know... Alan Wake has been influenced by Twin Peaks. That's the kind of game you'd imagine would have been.
But Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
It's not something you expect for Legend of Zelda. Although that has always been the odd one out, because it was the first one that was on handheld, because it was the first one on the Game Boy. And it's a very different breed of game compared to any of the others, because Link is separated from Hyrule and it's all on a separate island, because it was a standalone game.
It's actually one of my favourite Zelda games.
I always get stuck on that game. I can't get past one particular level, and I've never got past it since. And I've had it since the release date, and never got any further on it.
It had the weirdest end. I'll just say that. I won't spoil anything for anyone that hasn't finished it. but I wouldn't have expected it from a Zelda game. But can I see the... Okay, so next up is a quick little thing, which is an announcement. You can cover it back up. Sony have recently, I think it's started in America, or it's starting soon, a thing called The Tester, which is a reality TV show that features 11 contestants, and they want to become a tester at Sony. And they're on a reality TV show to do so.
Oh my god.
Adam, you sound like you've entered Echo City.
Sorry. Am I still echoey?
Yeah.
I'm in a cave!
Don't do that.
Because they won't hear it like that. So Sony are doing this, obviously for a bit of publicity, and I'm not really too sure why. I'm not being rude, because testers are a humongous asset that games need, but to make it into a reality TV show.
Yeah, and a lot of people just think testing it means playing games all day.
Which it bloody without, does not.
You know, reading what you're supposed to be testing it's and then not writing fun. Your little reports.
You know, what happens if you do this entire level jumping? Jump everywhere. Jump on it. Jump on that.
I do that anyway.
Yeah.
My thumb presses the space bar automatically.
Yeah, it's that little thing of what you wouldn't expect to do because...
We are like running against walls to check they're all collisioned.
Yeah, you know, making sure that there's no bit of floor that you fall through and you end up falling forever. You know, everything, every possibility, every scenario that could ever happen while playing that game to make sure that what's supposed to happen happens and what should never happen never happens. Although all I can say is thank God to games consoles being online, because whenever they find a fault, they can fix it there and then.
Unless, of course, they just brick your console.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, you still sound like you're in an echo chamber.
I apologize if there's people who are listening to the show have the same...
I don't think they sound. Were they?
No.
I don't know. Well, the other week he went all echoey towards the end of the show and that was in it.
Oh.
Really?
So you might have to fix it.
I can't fix it.
Because it will be on...
It will all be on his track.
I apologize. It might be my broadband because Orange are being really crappy at the moment.
Yeah, stop doing the show over mobile broadband and get proper broadband. Thank you.
Okay, so next up, Adam's going to talk to us.
I'm not on mobile broadband, I'm on normal broadband.
Oh.
Yeah.
That we don't care about on our side, yeah. to be honest.
Apple have finally announced their tablet, as it is, although really it's not a tablet, it's just a giant iPhone.
Hang on a minute, let me interrupt you there. We need to just put a little thing in here. It's a giant iPhone without a telephone.
Yeah, that's true.
Can I just... add there, if you pay extra, you can have 3G added in.
Yeah, but it's still not a telephone. That's for internet. No.
3G data access is not a telephone.
Yeah, true.
But telephone is
unlike a laptop where you need Wi-Fi, this thing will 3G access and stuff.
So does my tablet from 2007.
Yeah, well...
I can put a SIM card in there. You don't see me bragging.
Shall I continue? Sorry,
but anyway, I only need Wi-Fi because my phone acts as a wireless router.
Mine too.
Mine too.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. I can hook my MacBook up to my iPhone. It just cost me a fortune to do it.
Hang on, don't you have an original iPhone?
Yeah.
So you'll have an Edge connection. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's why I never do it. They've released the iPad.
They haven't released it. They've announced it. It'll be out in 60 days or 90 days for the 3G version.
I've not caught up yet. I literally just watched a video.
Okay, now for Red Dead Redemption.
Paul, let him talk.
I said 2 weeks ago, a minute for news items. We're already 10 minutes behind schedule.
I know, Paul, but please just let him talk. Because look, we haven't got reviews or previews, have we?
We've got releases.
I know, but they can be short. Please, just let him talk about his iPad, because I'm sure he wants to.
I don't want to talk about it too much, but I just want to say that... there is a lot of, on the gaming side of things, they're making a big deal about it, that it'll be this new games console. It does play all of the games that you can have on the iPhone, and you just get them large and big. So there are some stuff out there that I've played and will find too small.
Sorry, Adam, can I just say that...
you're not allowed to interrupt people.
I know, I'm just adding in... Because you said how it plays the iPhone games, it actually plays them small in a square in the middle of the screen.
No, if you carried on reading, you can...
Oh, can you maximize it?
Pixel.
Yeah, you can maximize it up. It shows it. It shows the little, like, you brought up Facebook and it was like the size of an iPhone. And the guy double tapped and it spread it all out to take up the whole thing.
No res.
Sorry. That's what I read and I didn't read all of it.
The screen is low res on it. 1024 by 768. No offense, but that sucks.
So, yeah, they're kind of like, yeah, you'll be able to play all the games you've got on the iPhone and the iPod Touch, but obviously it has got its own NDSK kit coming out, so there's going to be new stuff coming out for it. Myself, I won't be getting one. To be honest, if I was going to have something like that, I would get like what Paul's got, which
at least is a proper computer.
I want a pen. If I'm ever going to have a tablet, I want a pen.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people, it's like a lot of tablet PCs now, they just have touch screens.
But you put your hand on it, and it,
yeah,
it recognizes it. And it's like, what?
Catherine, don't interrupt.
I'm just adding.
So yeah, I mean, someone like me, I don't want to use my fingers, you know, I want to take notes on it, which means I need to make precise handwriting on it. And I also, like, for drawing in Photoshop and things like that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
What's the point of having a tablet PC unless you can't do handwriting, note-taking, or, like, drawing?
It's like doing fingerprinting.
If they really, really wanted to impress me, they would want to make a screen where if I touch it with my finger, because obviously if you touch it with anything other, without your finger touching the screen, it doesn't recognize it. It only recognizes your finger. So when you're touching it, if it recognized all of those hand gestures as normal, and then if you touch it with the pen that comes with it, it automatically recognizes you using the pen and starts drawing.
Yeah, did you see
and
the...
jump between the two, that would be really cool. So you could put your little finger down, drag something across, drop it, get the pen, opening up, start sketching away.
Yeah, did you see the Microsoft Courier videos from last, like, September?
Oh, yeah, that was that
with
one.
With their two-screen tablet?
Yeah,
they basically, for that, they have a capacitive screen which does your fingerprinting.
Yeah.
And then they also have a digitizer in there as well. So obviously it's quite cost prohibitive because you need a Wacom behind the screen and then you also need the capacitive layer. But yeah, that is the best way to do it. Because
that
way, you could do it both. And it's easy to recognize when you've got someone's hand resting on it because you just have a big blob on the screen as opposed to fingertips.
Yeah. But having that sort of thing would make it so great because you're jumping from, you use the pen to the pen stuff, the mouse to the mouse stuff, and be able to use them both at the same time. But so yeah, it's announced. I don't think it's the best thing in the world. It's just a giant iPhone as far as I'm concerned.
Yay.
I think it's cool.
Giant iPhone without a telephone.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes, Paul. Well, it's just a giant iPod Touch.
But it does have a data connection.
It's not running Mac OS that bothers me.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, this is really the least Apple could do, which just make a bigger iPhone minus a telephone, because if they put Mac OS onto it, they'd have to do a hell of a lot of re-engineering work on it, and plus you'd have a much lower battery life because it would be running a full operating system as opposed to just a phone.
Have you seen what the battery life is and the size of the internal memory is?
Internal memory ranges from 16 gigabytes to 64 gigabytes, depending on how much you want to pay, and battery life is 10 hours.
Standby.
Yeah. So
standby.
Is,
I know that was 100 hours, wasn't it?
Well, that's most netbooks nowadays have 10-hour battery life, so that's nothing new.
You know, it's a good thing if you just want to surf the internet. It's better than having to try and use an iPhone and see that small screen. But
it's not something you just carry around with you all day.
Nah, it's not something I'd make as portable.
So it's something. You know, I only use my tablet when I want to do a lot of reading because I can just sit back. This is really something which you do the same. But because the screen is so low res, if you've got a decent computer, you'd probably rather read on that.
And on that final note with what you just said there, look at the iPhones and look what happened when they brought out the unibody Max. If you're intending to buy one of these, don't. Wait at least a year and a half or up to 2 years because they'll make a better model eventually.
Yeah, next year.
You know,
with their yearly refresh.
6 months.
Yeah,
no, exactly. Apple do it every year.
Oh, just every year. Okay.
Okay, let's jump on to the next one. This one I'm getting excited about.
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption. So this is a new Red Dead game, which is, you know, that's set in the Wild West. Well, this one's actually set a little bit later, Wild West.
Near World War I?
Yeah, it's about 1900 odd, isn't it?
And, like, we watched a video just before this.
You can shoot somebody in the leg and they crawl away.
First off, it's by Rockstar, for anyone that didn't know. So Rockstar Games. I'm not sure which Rockstar are making it. I don't know. It's not North. No, North would be making it, because they're just GTA. I don't know. I'm not sure which actual development studio is making it.
Someone's making it.
But, wow. We watched this video, and I thought it was amazing.
It does look good.
Have you watched the newest one? The one to do with the guns? It was put up on the internet when...
I think I just watched a normal trailer, and it was just going through showing the guy doing all different sorts of stuff, riding around.
Well, this actually looks quite impressive.
It was nice as well, because they were like quoting stuff. Well, not quoting stuff, but mentioning history and stuff. So, like, they mentioned the setting, and then they went through all the gun types and what the gun types did and what they were best for.
Because,
and...
of course, as layman people, we don't know these things. I've never heard of a revolver or a Gatling gun.
I like the fact you can hedge towards being, like, the sheriff of the town or towards being the bandit.
Have they pretty much made it, then, like, a GTA in the West? Because that's what it looked like in the video.
It's got that sort of vibe. It does have the ability that you can do what you want. So you can go good, bad sort of thing. I think it drags you around as you're following through the story. So obviously it changes in that aspect. But yeah, for the fact you get on a horse, go where you want. I don't think it's level-based like you would a normal game.
Yeah, it'll just be mission-based.
Yeah.
So I recommend everyone watch the video that we post up. Because it shows the way their engine copes with shooting enemies in a way that apparently every person falls uniquely, dependent on where they're shot, and the engine processes it all and gives you what they've got.
That's nothing new, is it?
It looks nice, though. And you liked the guy crawling away, didn't you? You saw it and you were like, wow, that looks cool.
I didn't see it. I just heard you could do that.
Oh, okay. So, he'd shot a guy and there was a guy crawling away.
Yeah, but whenever they announce something cool like that, it's always the same old boring stuff.
It could be good. It looks nice.
You always get these gimmicks in games, but I like it when they bring out a gimmick, but as far as they're concerned, it's just part of the background and it should be seamless and the game is not based around it. It's just something that's in the game and you get on with the coolness of the game and it just happens to be there and livens up the experience in a total.
What I imagine, though, from watching the video as well, is that they're using maybe the same engine that they're using for Max Payne 3, because one thing that they have actually featured in Red Dead Redemption is bullet time. Although it doesn't look that bad. But I recommend everyone watch the video, because it looks cool.
It does look good. My mate Gary's been going nuts about it for the last month, apart from when he had his little tantrum at work because he said it's been put back again. But... normally, if a game's put back, it means that there's either something
wrong. It just means they've had a few problems and they have to give it extra time.
Their original estimates were wrong.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and it shows that they're willing to fix something, not just go, oh, we'll force it out and something...
Put it in a cardboard box and ship it.
Yeah.
Not Howard. Okay, so Adam's going to now talk about Lost Planet 2.
Yeah, Lost Planet 2, apparently... My name is Adam, by the way. Yeah. Lost Planet 2, apparently you can play as people from a different game.
Yeah, so there's basically, as well as the announcement for Lost Planet 2...
just the date, really.
We mentioned the date, but as well as with Monster Hunter, which was announced on the 26th, they've also announced that for Xbox 360 owners of the game, not PlayStation 3, in multiplayer, there will be two available skins to play off from Gears of War. So they're working along with the Gears of War team to be able to put these in. It's the main character and his friend.
Marcus Fenix.
I think it's the black guy.
Is it Coltrane?
Yeah, him. It might be him. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. But it is from the characters as they stand from Gears of War 2. They haven't said whether or not any control systems or anything like that. It might just be literally pure skins, so that when you play as those characters, they look as close to those characters while still being in scale and look.
I imagine they'll all have the same rigs, and it'll just be the model over the top, and it'll just look like normal. It'll look probably like you're playing Gears of War, and you'll be like, oh wait, I'm playing Lost Planet 2.
Yeah. But it's quite a nice little thing. I do like a bit of crossover now and again. It's a shame when they do it badly. But it's good when it's done good. Because I must admit, I think the last thing I enjoyed that was a crossover would have been Soul Calibur. When they had each one for each console had a different character which was to do with that platform. Mm. Poor Xbox got shoved with Spawn. Not that Spawn's crap, but I was kind of like, I just about remember a Spawn game being on Xbox, but I don't really see the connection. They were better off with Master Chief or something.
But, yeah, but they would have had to have paid a fair bit for that.
Yeah. I prefer it. I actually bought the GameCube version, even though I had an Xbox, just so I could play as Link. CK Pass.
Okay, so Star Trek Online Beta has now pretty much finished.
Which is kind of annoying, because I actually had somebody asking me for a CD key today.
Oh, really? Is that why you texted me about it?
Yeah.
Aww.
I had to send him a message saying, sorry, it's
Who
closed
asked
down.
You for it?
I don't know, some dude at work. Some customer person.
Tell him I'm sorry.
I don't know his name.
Okay.
It was just some random
guy. It ended... Well, Tuesday. I think it ended... Oh, it ended Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday.
And I was just going to mention that it sounded quite cool, and I'm a bit annoyed that we didn't play the last bit. Because it might have been fairly cool. Because they ended it with a large-scale Klingon invasion. So like how... When the WoW beta ended, they had, like, fire falling from the sky and loads of crap going on. You weren't in the beta, so you wouldn't know, Paul. I was.
No, but I was there before they released expansion packs and where things would go on
Okay. So, yeah, so they had, does it say, massive Klingon feats near, where's that? Kronos,
that's Kronos. The Klingon homeworld.
And they prepared to enter the Federation space, and of course, all beta participants were urged to man their vessels and prepare for a large-scale battle. It started at 2 p.m. Pacific time, so like that would have been quite late for us, wouldn't it? It would have been quite early.
2 p.m. Pacific would be about 9, 10 o'clock our time.
What, in the evening or morning?
In the evening.
In the evening. So that would have been quite late. I can't read that, Paul. Thank you.
Well, I have to make sure the recording actually recorded the first part now, since I ended it.
Oh, okay, sorry. But yeah, so that was a quite nice way to end it, I thought. And it's a shame that... Did it record it?
Yeah. In a giant WAV file.
Oh, as opposed to MP3?
Well, normally it outputs an MP3.
Oh.
But now I'll have to resample it.
Sorry, not my fault.
Yes, Adam's fault. Sort your connection out.
Star Trek Online beta ended. Huge Klingon invasion. Probably was quite cool because there was a lot of people playing the beta on it. So yeah. Adam now has something to talk about Fable 3.
Fable 3 will be revealed in the next few months.
Yeah, Lionhead...
Oops, I just spoiled it.
Lionhead plans to unveil Fable 3 during Microsoft's X10 event
next month in San Francisco.
Yeah, in San Francisco. Paul's not going to like this, but they announced it on Facebook.
I am sick and tired of
companies. They may have also mentioned it on Twitter, because whenever they post stuff, it'll be on Facebook and Twitter. So they probably announced it on both. Paul,
so
I'm sure they had a press release as well.
So here's me following their press pass website and not getting any of this stuff. Dear Steve Ballmer, please stop your executives and other people from using Facebook and Twitter. Thank you. If they want to use a blog...
Well, it's not Peter Molyneux using Twitter and Facebook. Well, he uses
Dear
Twitter,
Steve
but not
Ballmer,
using Facebook.
Put a stop to Peter Molyneux hanging around Guildford and also posting on Twitter. Thank you.
So
they have
cool.
a press pass website for a reason. I'm press. I go on that. I don't go on Twitter. I don't like Twitter. I don't like Facebook. Okay.
So hopefully what they show for Fable 3 will be quite nice looking, because of course Fable 2 had its problems, which is,
Let's be fair,
a thing that Lionhead tend to have.
All Lionhead games have problems.
Well, yeah, that's what I just said, isn't it? They always tend to be fairly buggy. I'm not sure if it's maybe their QA department needs to be a bit bigger.
Well, no, I think what it is they want to ship it.
Yeah, and they say a date and they stick to the date.
Especially with Black and White. Well, I mean, like, Black and White 2 lost multiplayer.
Yeah, that's true.
Which made the game pointless. You played it once and that was it. Stop banging.
Sorry, I leant back in the chair. It just clicks.
But yeah. So what I'm hoping is that maybe Fable 3 will use the engine Fable 2 used, and then they'll improve the graphics slightly.
Well,
and it will
be
less
set at a later time as well.
Well, yeah.
So yeah.
But we'll see what happens when they announce that next month, then.
Hopefully it won't have laser guns.
When we say next month, do you mean February or March?
Next month is officially February.
Yeah, it's posted on the 26th of January. So I'm guessing that... no, I'm looking at the wrong post. Sorry, I was... I was flicking on my tabs while you two were talking. Yeah, this one was posted on the 26th of January. So it said... yeah, next month, Microsoft X10 event in San Francisco. So I'm guessing that the X10 must be late February or mid-February, I would have thought.
Okay, so that's cool.
Well, the fact that it says next month and we're in January kind of gives it away, IMO.
Yeah, true. But
X10 is on the 11th of February.
Okay, that's quite soon. But I was thinking that maybe they could have been counting it almost as February and just saying that it's next month when it's really March or something. That's what I'm saying. Okay?
But yeah.
What about Dead Rising 2?
Yep. The next thing I think is really, really cool. One thing that's been announced for Dead Rising 2, which I only found out about today because I hadn't read any of it. Well, I haven't read anything on Dead Rising 2 yet, really, other than the multiplayer when I watched the video with the whole Running Man kind of gameplay. But yeah, so in Dead Rising 2, there's a lot of duct tape around, and you can combine objects together to make weapons.
Chainsaws, tennis racket.
Yeah, so an example that there was on the post that I saw about it was he's got a paddle, as in like an oar for a boat, and chainsaw, and he's put a chainsaw on the end of it, so he's got a paddle saw.
Wicked. So
I think that's really cool.
Still seems a bit gimmicky.
It is very gimmicky, but the thing is, it will work because it's the kind of game that should have something like that anyway. Because, you know, you're trying to fight off zombies. It's like how Alone in the Dark did it. You're fighting for your life. Oh my god, let's make whatever we can and try and kill them. Kind of thing.
Or I could just go over there to where the machine gun is and get that.
You could, but it's more fun using weapons as opposed to guns, if you ask me. You can use a gun in any game. Can you use, I don't know, a golf club to kill people in most games? Can you use a chainsaw? Can you use a bucket?
I will say one thing. I never saw it in the first game, and if it was in there, please someone correct me and tell me it was there, and I'll go look for it. But they should have had one of those tennis ball shooting guns on wheels, and you just push it.
I don't think they did. That would have been...
I don't remember seeing one, and I actually played it
quite a thing to add it in as well.
But if you had something like that where it was kind of like the lawnmower where you have to push it round.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And then shoving, like, you could go into a supermarket and start shoving grapefruit and God knows what else in it and start shooting them at zombies. Because I remember having a gun that fired foam balls and it wasn't very effective, but when they get close enough, if you kept smacking them in the forehead enough times, eventually they would fall over by accident.
But yeah, so that's cool. This information was actually announced at the Capcom Microsoft event. And there's not been any word at all on how much customization it is. So you couldn't say, you know, grab a bucket and a knife, tape the knife to the bucket and throw it.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to be able to get a flat panel TV screen and start taping a palm tree to the end of it.
Yeah, so like random things like that. So putting like a rubber duck on the end of an umbrella. It'd be weird, but it wouldn't do anything. But anyway... So I'm quite looking forward to...
I'm just thinking you got the umbrella attack where you open up the umbrella and start attacking them all. And if you manage to hit a zombie at the dead front of the umbrella, you hear a
from the rubber duck. Anyway, so that's really cool. I'm looking forward to that because I think the multiplayer looks cool, even though it shouldn't have multiplayer. But that's just my opinion. But yeah, so I think that's looking really good. So I think now we're on to the next section.
Rant of the week.
Right, my rant for this week is really quick and simple.
Yep, very, very simple.
Last week we announced a Facebook group had been set up.
And a Steam group.
Well, the Steam group, you know...
Doesn't matter as much.
No, because, yeah, it's Steam.
There's lots of groups on Steam.
And one person hasn't joined.
What, the Facebook group?
And I really think he should. And that person... is Adam.
We're very disappointed in you, Adam.
I know, I'm sorry. I can't join groups on my phone, and if I can, I don't know how to do it.
Dude, you had a computer in front of you for all of last week's episode, and you've got a computer in front of you now. Join the group.
I've joined.
Thank you. See, my rants do accomplish something.
Yay. It's because I never go on Facebook when...
I never go on Facebook. I still managed to join it. It's because I'm legend.
And you managed to make it.
I made it, did I?
Yes.
I don't remember this.
You were like, hey, come and help me.
Oh.
What do I do? And I was like, make me an admin. And you didn't even know how to do that. Yeah.
I don't even know how to get to the Facebook group now I've added.
I'll make you an admin as well, Adam.
The links. They're down the bottom of the page. There's like a rolly up
hover
thing. Oh,
yeah, they're really hard to find. Unless someone posts on the wall who's your friend, and then you'll see that. But I'll make Adam an admin too.
Not this is why I like going on Facebook on my my iPhone, because it's so dumbed down, it's so simple, I'm not confused by all of the crap that's thrown at me by everyone else going, do this, be a zombie, do be a zombie. Do this quest, do
this. Yeah, it's bloody annoying.
Like, I'm just like, my God, I just want to be friends and share my photos.
Yeah, I see no point in all that stuff. My mum loves it. Can't get enough of it. She even explained a game to me on Facebook, which was the weirdest thing in the world. I'm just saying, it was the weirdest thing having my mum explain a game to me who has never played games before in her life.
Guys.
Was the weirdest experience.
This is my rant of the
week. I'm sorry, Paul. You can keep going. I'm sorry. I just wanted to add that because we're talking about Facebook stuff. And it was just a really weird experience for me. And you can continue if there's anything else. Although your rant's kind of finished now, isn't it?
Yes. It finished and it was successful.
There we go.
My first successful rant.
Worked. Hopefully they'll continue working.
Now, proving that we do care about your opinions, your letters.
We'll follow shortly after this disclaimer. Gamercast does not endorse any opinions and or views expressed in any of the letters we receive. All letters are presented as is and confers no warranty or rights. So what letters have we got this week?
Okay, we've only got one, which isn't really a letter because it's from me.
It's from you?
It's from me. And it's not to do with Gamercast that much, in a way. But it kind of is.
Why isn't it on my show notes?
I'm being so descriptive. Because it's not an actual physical letter. Or a digital letter.
Well, what am I supposed to write for the show note?
I don't know, I'll think of something. Calm down. Just because it's not there.
This needs to be on the list.
Okay, so I want to say a huge thanks to Mr. Gary Napper, who knows who he is and listens to the show now.
And is a member of the Facebook group.
Is a member of the Facebook group.
Unlike Adam as of 10 minutes ago.
But he now is a member, so you know, less so. Gary works at EA with me. And he contributed something to, as Paul calls it, loot bag, that we will hopefully review on next week's show, or I will hopefully review on next week's show.
Maybe. If I deem it worthy.
It looked quite cool. I saw some of it today.
Meh.
Anyway, so yeah.
Huge, I didn't even know what it
is. Huge thanks to Gary, who's really cool. And yeah, so that's that. So that's
well, since
letters.
We're doing non-real letters, okay. I'm going to read some feedback I got from Mike today.
Okay, that's cool.
He said, your last episode was a lot better.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. But you stopped listening during the review and preview thing because, yeah, he didn't care anymore. But, yeah, he said the rest of it was a lot better.
Oh, so he didn't care about Assassin's Creed?
No. Well, he's got 1,000 gamer score in Assassin's Creed.
He's played. Okay.
I'm sorry I take so long to review games because I can't spend much money on it. I'm trying to save up for a house. Sorry.
So yeah. Cool. So that's all our feedback.
Feedback can go to feedback@gamercast.net. I don't want to hear any more people telling me feedback personally or Catherine personally.
I got an email.
There is. Why isn't it in the show notes?
Because it's really long and you wouldn't read it out. It's okay, Paul.
There is a process.
Yeah.
It's feedback@gamercast.net. It goes there, it moves into my little folder, and then it shows up in OneNote. That is the process how it works.
Or, of course, you can leave us replies on Twitter. Twitter.com/gamercast. You can also leave stuff on the Facebook group as well.
Or you can just go on the website.
Or you can go on the website.
www.gamercast.net and comment on this week's episode.
Yep.
Or other episodes if you feel necessary to.
Yeah, you could always do that.
Yes.
You can comment on past shows. We'll just have to remember what happened. So, next up.
Next up is, of course...
It's time for
Name
That
Game.
Right, this week we can announce the answer to last week's Name That Game. We didn't have anyone guess correctly. We had some guy called Jim who guessed it was Jungle Strike, and they were wrong.
Aww.
The correct answer was...
Is it Soviet Strike? Desert Strike?
The mission... It was from the mission briefing screen in Desert Strike.
Is that an EA game?
So yeah, because... Yes. No, yeah, it's an EA game.
Back in the day when it was Electronic Arts.
It still is Electronic Arts now. They rebranded it once EA Games...
I don't have any of the Strike games.
I don't
have any of them.
I nearly bought them while I was in Canada.
I've got Master System version of Desert Strike, I think.
They had Jungle Strike and Desert Strike with a load of other EA games on like a bundle on the PlayStation Store, and I was nearly going to buy it for £7 for
the EA Replay.
Yeah.
The PSP
I was so tempted just for playing Desert Strike again, and I was just kind of like, the only thing that put me off was I had Urban Strike, and I loved that one, just for the whole getting in and out of the different helicopters and the tank and stuff.
Yes, okay. Fine. So, anyway, so this week's Little Sound, I've made this one a lot easier. Okay. So hopefully within a day or so, we'll have like 10 people guess what it is. Hopefully,
people just don't leave comments.
Hopefully,
too shy.
Adam and Catherine won't recognize it, but you may recognize it. It depends. But I'll just play the little
clip.
Have
you told Charlotte
what
it is? Do they know what it is?
No, I don't. I haven't told anyone what this is.
This is a secret.
This is super secret. But it's also super easy.
Okay.
So I'll just play that now. Adam, if you want to do the same on your end.
Yep, loading it up now.
What? That's really short.
So, Catherine, any guesses?
Can you play it again?
I will play it one more time.
I'm sorry, I have no idea whatsoever.
Adam.
What the hell?
I recognize that.
You've got 5 seconds to guess what it is.
Modern Warfare 2.
Are you sure, Adam?
Do you know why I don't know what it is?
Why?
Because I haven't played it yet.
Aww.
You've played it. You've played my game. I haven't played my game.
I've been playing it non-stop until I went to Canada.
Adam thinks it's Modern Warfare 2. We will obviously find out the correct answer next week.
Yes, we will. Not that I'd know it anyway.
If any listeners know what it is, just send it in. And
yes, send us your thoughts on what it is.
Because you will win respect if you know what
it is. Yeah, and we'll mention you on the show.
And next week it will be a lot harder.
Yeah.
Because, like I said...
That's hard, because I don't know what it is.
I did an easy... Yeah, but everyone knows what that is.
Other people, normal people will know. Just not me. Aww. Okay.
So, moving along...
Releases this week.
Shall I mention these, or do you want to?
You can do the Astro Boy because I do not want to be associated with Astro Boy.
So,
Astro Boy.
Yeah, they're releasing the games for Astro Boy because, of course, the film comes out quite soon, I believe.
Yeah.
And the games, of course, are just a film tie-in game. I'm not. Do you know who's making them? You didn't write it down, did you?
Who knows?
I'm not sure who's making them.
This is actually what I put on my little notes: Astro Boy. Lol.
Okay, so it's coming out on Wii, PSP, PS2, and DS. Wow. So no next-gen consoles. I'm going to guess it has to be quite a small company making it then.
Yeah, I would have thought
so. If they're making that on just those consoles. Because they could use the same kind of kits for it.
I don't even know why we're mentioning this one, really.
Well, we're just mentioning all the releases. Okay,
this is nowhere near all of them.
No, there's probably lots of crap from that as well. Okay, so that's Astro Boy.
Dante's Inferno is probably the big one.
Yep. Which is, of course, based on the Divine Comedy, and is coming out on PC. Oh, it's not PC. Okay, I thought
it might be PC. I don't know.
360 and PS3. I'm not sure. Actually, maybe it's not PC. Maybe it's only console. I don't know. And there's like there's Death Editions coming out of it as well.
Rah.
With like bonus stuff, and it all looks quite good if you ask me. I'm quite interested in it.
No, we'll see if it's
lots of people aren't, but I am, and I'm looking forward to it. So yeah,
Endless Ocean 2 is also coming out. This is a Wii game.
Yes.
It's
a sequel.
It's a sequel to Endless Ocean 1.
Yes. Apparently it's quite good. Errol from work loves Endless Ocean.
Yeah, this is actually why I mentioned it, because it did seem kind of cool. So yeah, you basically play as a scuba diver and you just roam around the ocean. So you like show people, you like take people on trips to see stuff and yeah.
You can also, it's an online game. With number two, it also you can use WeSpeak with it. So you can talk to your friends while playing it as well.
When you're underwater, you can't speak.
You're not underwater when you're playing on your Wii.
Yeah, you can. When you're scuba diving, you can talk to people.
Yeah, by using sign gestures, which is what I was about to say before Catherine so rudely interrupted.
I'm sorry, but I was...
You've got the overhead scuba mask.
Well, yeah, if you've got
It's got a head common.
Yeah, if you've got a full thing where you can breathe, but, you know...
They use it for, like, touristy stuff.
I was just saying that it used WeSpeak. I'm sorry.
Don't interrupt me, dude. You told me before the show, don't interrupt me. Now you're interrupting me. And that allowed Adam to get a snarky comment back at me, so I have to get him back later.
Don't worry, I've just pained myself by realizing that tomorrow Tatsunoko versus Capcom is out and I can't play because it's on the bloody Wii.
I haven't got my copy yet.
That's because it's out tomorrow.
I might not get it until maybe Monday.
I want to play Gatchaman.
You're
going to tell me what it's like.
Yeah, I'll mention it on next week's show.
Also out is, of course, MX versus ATV Reflex. So this is a pretty fun game where it's like one of the games that kids always ask me for.
Wait, kids always ask for it. It's crazy.
I know, it is, isn't it?
And what is it? Motorbikes and...
It's motorbikes and those like quad bikes and stuff like that.
Well, it's not really motorbikes, though, is it? It's
like cross
all-terrain kind of bikey things. What are they called? Motocross. There we go. Adam got it. I'm sorry, did you?
Sorry, motorbike fan here.
So that's coming out on DS, PS3, and 360. That's a bit odd that it's coming out on DS only for, like, older kind of console stuff.
Mm.
I think if they did a DS release, they might do a PS2 release or something.
There's a new Stalker game coming out.
Yes, is it an expansion or a new?
I assume this is a standalone game.
You get it as a special edition as well.
Yeah, so this is called a Pripyat. That's how you pronounce it.
Pripyat.
So like the previous games, you play these Stalker guys who are like weird-ass paramilitary.
The time it's set.
Yeah, it's set in a couple of years' time, yeah. All right.
That's really random.
Don't trip me. Thank you. Yeah, so you play as these paramilitary mercenary dudes called Stalkers, and you basically, this one's set in a place called the Zone. So they were really like imaginative, like before they had Chernobyl, at least that's the place. This time it's set in the Zone. Who knows what the Zone is? Anyway, so that's out Friday. There's also a Sims 3 expansion pack coming out.
Yep, design and high-tech stuff.
Yeah, so this has got lots of like technology bits and bobs, and also lots of like modern like furniture. So you can build a modern, trendy apartment because that's trendy and cool. Also, I thought I'd mention this because this is also set in 2012.
What's with, you know, why they're choosing 2012?
Well, because
the world better not end at the end of these games.
Well, for the Titanic game, it's because the original Titanic was 1912.
I know.
So yeah, basically the backstory to this game, Titanic Mystery, is the White Star Line have decided to make a new Titanic, because of course that's what you do. You'd make a ship named after a ship which sunk.
Yeah.
Because that's bound to be good luck or some like meaties or some like bad luck there going on. So yeah, basically it's just another one of these mystery games.
Did you find out which kind of mystery game it is? Is it a point and click or is it like a find and a seek and solve?
Dude. All I know is it's really cheap. On PC it's released at £10.
It's also coming out on DS as well.
Yeah, £25.
Which will appeal to the kind of people that like to play those games, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah, so there's actually a lot of these mystery games kicking around now.
There is, especially on the DS now.
And on the PC.
There's always been lots on the PC.
Yeah, but now there's dozens.
There's been like hundreds. Boom.
Yeah.
They're cheap to make, that's why.
Yep. So that's the new releases for this coming Friday.
Well, yeah, because when we've released the show.
And we don't actually have any reviews or previews this week.
It's because we're doing the show earlier than we would have been. If we were doing it Sunday, I so would have had a review.
Oh, okay.
But I'll do that next week, because I haven't had time to plan it, so. Maybe I'll even
14
have
new
two.
Games yet.
Might even have two reviews next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Two reviews flipping out.
A whole two. I'll make them short.
Good.
I'll have notes.
This game is fun. 5 out of 5. This game sucks. 2 out of 5. Thank you. So yeah, that's it for this week's episode. We will, of course, be back next week.
Yep, and the new... I'm sorry. Yawning.
People have a go at me for, like, making it seem unprofessional. And there's people here yawning and trying to talk at the same time.
I was talking. I didn't know there was a yawn coming. Oh, I'm sorry.
A hidden yawn.
I can't even remember what I was saying, so forget it.
Great.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, feedback can go to feedback@gamercast.net. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/gamercast. You can join the Facebook group. There's a link for that on gamercast.net on the right-hand side. There's also a Steam group. You can join that. You can leave us a review on iTunes because we're on iTunes. There's links for all that on the website, which is gamercast.net. You can leave comments on the entries on that website. You can email me directly at feedback@gamercast.net, which I've already said, but you can do that because I don't get many emails. It's all Twitter and crazy shit like this nowadays. You can also donate to the show. Please give us money because I need some. And yeah.
And Paul loses money for every show. I shouldn't be laughing.
If you saw what the Gamercast books look like, you'd be
shocked. I know. You told me about it today.
You know, me and Adam, back in the day, we used to actually spend a lot of money on this.
Adam?
Adam used to contribute back in the old days, before he stopped doing that.
Okay, I thought he didn't do it.
No,
sorry.
Well, back when we had our own server for it and we did live shows, that was quite expensive.
Yeah, so I paid out and got a bit of website space for it and stuff like that.
Yes, not good. Obviously now it's a bit cheaper, but it's still money.
I'm sorry. I keep yawning.
So yeah, we'll be back next week. Have fun, everyone. Unless anyone else has anything to say really quickly before we close up the episode.
No, I'm absolutely fine. And we'll see you all next week.
Yes. And we'll hopefully hear about this Tatsunoko...
Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
I'm on the website.
And
it's
a couple of other things. Yeah.
Right. We will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.